Good evening. I'm Rick Cottom, here tonight for the Maryland Historical Society. Welcome to Your Maryland. On June 2, 1608, Captain John Smith and 14 men climbed into a 34-foot boat and left the struggling Jamestown colony to explore the Chesapeake Bay. It was just the sort of thing Smith did best. Fearless, decisive, and bounding with energy, he also routinely bullied, lied, deceived, and brutalized anyone who got in his way. At 27, Smith had already fought the Spanish and the Turks, been captured and sold into slavery in Istanbul, seduced a Turkish princess, and escaped back to Europe to fame and fortune. When he joined the first little fleet sailing for Virginia, though, other settlers found him so obnoxious, they erected a gallows on deck to hang him. Then they opened their sealed orders for the colony's governance and learned he was one of seven chosen to lead them. The fleet had no sooner arrived than Smith took over the place and promptly got himself in trouble with the Indians. Legend has it that he was saved by, what else, another princess, Pocahontas. But he returned to the settlement only to find the settlers ready to hang him again. That is, until he took over once more. Clearly, no one in Virginia was better qualified to lead an expedition up the Chesapeake than Captain John Smith. On the eastern side of the bay, the expedition encountered friendly Indians and unfriendly weather. The wind and water so much increased with thunder, lightning, and rain, he said, that the sail blew overboard, and such mighty waves overracked us that only with great effort did they keep from sinking. They could repair the sail with their shirts, but fresh water was hard to find, and as they proceeded, the Indians turned surly. Several hundred rushed to the shore and shot clouds of arrows at the boat, which Smith had prudently anchored just out of range. The next day the Indians returned and appeared more accommodating, so Smith blasted them with a volley of musketry that sent them scrambling for cover. He went ashore that night, quietly left some trinkets in their village, and waited until they came to terms. Late in June he crossed the bay and reached about where the Bay Bridge is today before turning south and exploring the Potomac. Several miles upriver he ran into 3,000 or 4,000 Indians, so strangely painted, grimed, and disguised, shouting, yelling, and crying as so many spirits from hell could not have showed more terrible. Smith had his men fire low over the water so the Indians could see the skipping balls and hear the thunder of muskets echo from the heavily wooded shores. That impressed the Indians, who took Smith to a mine where they extracted the silvery powder with which they painted themselves, so they looked, he said, like blackmoors dusted over with silver. Back in the boat, the explorers found fish lying so thick with their heads above water that for want of nets they tried to scoop them up with a frying pan. Neither better fish, more plenty, nor more variety had any of us ever seen in any place, Smith remarked, but they're not to be caught with a frying pan. Through crystal-clear water the men could see large oysters littering the bottom like stones. Smith amused himself by spearing fish with his sword. When he speared a ray, however, she suddenly struck him with a most poisonous sting of 2 or 3 inches long, bearded like a saw on each side. The barb went deep into his wrist, leaving a small hole that didn't bleed, but did turn blue and radiated excruciating pain. 4 hours later, his arm had swollen terribly, as high as his shoulder. Smith was directing his own funeral preparations when the party's doctor stuck a probe covered with a precious oil into the little blue hole. Miraculously, the swelling went down, and Smith ate the ray for dinner. The expedition returned to Jamestown on July 21st. Smith decked the boat out with colors and ribbons, and he and his men regaled the colonists with tall tales until it appeared he had taken the whole of the Chesapeake by conquest. But the colonists, hungry, sickly, bickering, and resentful, weren't listening. Smith sighed and once more deposed the president and took control. 3 days later, he was back in his element. His little boat and sturdy crew once more headed north into the great Bay of Chesapeake before him.